Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
What are two secrets to successful communication? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. And in just a minute, we're going to talk about how to be a more persuasive and effective communicator. But first, congratulations on being a lifelong learner and being proactive with your career. Regardless of when you're listening to the LeadX Show, you know that it's helping you to stand out and get ahead. Tell your friends at work, LeadX is the smartest way to start your day. Today's one-minute career tip is see something, say something. It's all about giving feedback. Most managers withhold feedback, the good feedback and the constructive criticism, because they're either too busy to notice the good stuff going on or, which is often in my case, I'm conflict avoidant. I'm afraid I'm going to bum people out, make them feel bad, or I think they're going to, you know, fight back on, against my feedback. Once, though, I saw data that showed that people are more engaged than average if they get positive or negative feedback, constructive criticism. The only thing that can decrease engagement is no feedback. They say the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference. So don't withhold your feedback. Don't hold on to it until that annual review that's still 6 months away. Do it in private, but like the USA's TSA signs say, if you see something, say something. And by the way, no reason why you can't give positive feedback to your peers or even to your boss. Hey, boss, I really appreciate it that you took the time to explain why I needed to manually copy and collate those 50 documents. It wasn't super challenging work, but at least I can now see how valuable it is to the organization. If you see something, say something. Now, before I introduce our guest, I just want to give a big thanks to all of you who went on to iTunes and subscribed to the show and left a rating. That only takes a minute to do, but it's the single best favor you can do for me. Now, our guest today is a keynote speaker, executive coach, and communications expert who's worked in more than 30 countries. He's the co-founder of Pinnacle Performance Company and co-author of The Pin Drop Principle, Captivate, Influence, and Communicate Better Using the Time-Tested Methods of Professional Performers. Our guest is G. Riley Mills. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And we're going to talk about the Pin Drop Principle in just a minute, but I always start by asking our guests to share a time when you actually failed, because we want to learn along with you from that failure.
Yeah, so it's always fun to talk about something that went wrong and the lessons you learn from it. Of course, my background before I started Pinnacle Performance Company with my co-founder David Lewis was I worked for almost 20 years as a professional actor. So as an actor, you're auditioning 20 times a week probably, and so you're being told no and you're technically failing almost every time, so I'm used to that. But the story I would share is before I started Pinnacle, I owned a health club in Chicago, and it was a great place where I learned marketing and customer service and how to deal with people and drive business. And it was great for many years, and then all of a sudden, I saw the numbers start to dive, and I didn't know what was wrong. I put in some new equipment. I figured some new marketing strategies, and there was nothing I could do to save this company. And it was because the neighborhood where I lived in Chicago kept adding health clubs, more health clubs, nicer health clubs, bigger health clubs. And mine was a small neighborhood place that really couldn't compete. We were doing everything right. It was just that the pie was getting smaller. And so I eventually sold that company. And that's when I fired up Pinnacle Performance Company with Dave Lewis. But the lesson that I took away was in business, conditions change and you've got to anticipate. You've got to be nimble. You've got to think on your feet, think ahead to figure out what changes can you make to modify where you're going.
Yeah, that's interesting, Gary. I've often said to my author friends who are launching books, my podcaster friends, or my business friends, the number one variable, you know, despite everybody talking about, oh, it's all about hustle, or you could figure it out, or never, ever, ever, you know, quit. The number one variable is the market.
True.
How big is the market? Is the market growing or shrinking? You know, the competition in the market. And so I think this is a great story for you to share. But let me ask a follow-up.
Yeah.
You will hear hear those entrepreneurs out there with all their little Instagram posts like never, ever, ever, ever fail. So how do you know when you should just persevere a little bit longer because maybe success is right around the corner? Or you know what? This is when I need to cut the losses here and reinvent or pivot.
It's a great question. I think it's head and heart, right? Your head and your heart and your gut. In that instance, for me, my heart was, I don't want to be the one turning off the lights. I don't want to be the one watching this place go down. And I don't see, because I've tried everything I can, how I can get it back to where it needs to go. So I'm looking forward to, I'm going to start something new. I'm going to take all the skills that I learned in this job, and I'm going to take them to whatever's next. And I started the process of moving away from that, selling that business, starting a new business, which thankfully worked out pretty well.
Brilliant. I love that. Head and heart. And Gary, your book is, again, The Pin Drop Principle. And as you said, you know, you come at the topic of communication from being a professional actor. So what do you see as the connection between acting and communicating as a leader?
Yeah, our company, Pinnacle Performance Company, in the book is all about what we call intention-based communication skills, meaning all of the things that actors have utilized for centuries to engage an audience, to project confidence, to be persuasive and influential, to make you feel a certain way. Those are the things we bring into the corporate environment. We package it in a way that's very simple to understand so anybody can use it. Now, of course, we thought we were the first ones who came up with this idea of bringing the tools of the actor into the corporate environment. But as we researched the book, I went back in history and found there are instances of everybody from Reagan, Obama, JFK, Clinton, all the way King George VI, if anybody saw the King's speech, all the way back to Demosthenes, who was the greatest of all Greek orators. They all used acting coaches, or they all worked with actors to learn these techniques to be more influential communicators.
Wow, that's great. And so, you know, you've touched on this. You say the success of your communication depends on two things. One of them is intention. And so what's the other one? And unpack them for us.
So these are the two things. Our company was founded on this idea of connecting intention and objective. So objective, very simply for your listeners, that's your goal. That's what you want at the end of your meeting, your phone call, or your performance review. Here's what I want. That's my goal. Your intention is not the same thing. Your intention is going to be a one-word verb that's going to inform your delivery and help you accomplish that objective. So if your objective is to get your folks to show up on time and not come in late, that's your objective. Your intention is going to be a one-word verb, such as, I'm going to reprimand them. I'm going to challenge them. I'm going to frighten them. I'm going to inspire them. Any of those you could utilize depending on how you want them to feel at the end of your communication.
So this is always the one-word intention is always the feeling you're trying to instill.
Exactly. I want to challenge you. I want to motivate you. I want to reassure you. If you're a client and I've made a mistake, I want to reassure you that this mistake won't happen again. And if I choose reassure, it's going to inform my delivery, which means my voice, gestures, body language, word choices all have to be aligned and congruent so that the person I'm talking to knows exactly what I want them to know and feel.
Now, this is great, and I'm jotting notes like crazy down. Gary, this is really good stuff. And listeners, you know what just triggered for me on this? I probably have already said it on the show a few times. You know, it's the emotions that count. And I think now I'm a type A driver, kind of intellectual robot kind of guy. So it took me a lot of years before I realized how important emotions are. I mean, certainly not how I lead. And in fact, in sales, as an example, I could remember, for probably all through my 20s, I would think that I could just win the deal by presenting hard ROI and having a strategically superior solution. I just thought I could win from the argument, and I often didn't win. And someone told me, and at first I rejected. He said, people buy for emotional reasons, but they justify it with the logical reasons. You need to sell with emotion. You move them emotionally. And at first I rejected it, Gary. I was so dumb.
Right.
And then like in my 30s, as I got better, I'm like, oh, you know what? It's like emotion is as important as the logic and all that. You know, by the time I was in my 40s, I'm like, you know what? It's almost all emotion. So
right.
Whether you're selling a $1 million project or, like I said, trying to sell your boss to give you that big assignment or whatever it is, it's really, you know, if you want someone to take action, to decide, to act at all, you have to reach them on an emotional level. So I love this. What's your goal? What's your objective? And then what's the intention? What feeling are you trying to instill in others? Wow, just awesome.
Influence emotion to motivate action. That's what we talk about through our trainings, through our coaching.
Say that again, Gary.
Influence emotion to motivate action.
Influence emotion to motivate action. Dang, that's awesome right there.
And again, going back to the election that just happened, whether you like Donald Trump, don't like Donald Trump, whether you like Hillary Clinton, don't like Hillary Clinton, which candidate influenced emotion and motivated action? Got their people out there. That was the person who ended up winning.
Yeah, absolutely. I was sort of predicting how that election was going to go even, you know, several weeks before, because that's what I thought was, okay, which side's more motivated to show up? You know, whether right. It's going to be a rainy day or whatever kind of day it's going to be, which side has got that motivation?
And now it looks like that's starting to turn, right? That's starting to turn. If you see some of the polling and you see the emotions at some of these town halls now, it seems like that's starting to pivot. So it'll be interesting to see how that happens in the next election. Whoever is the candidate, can they influence emotion and motivate action the way Trump just did?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Gary, you say, you know, communication is one of the best ways to increase employee engagement. And that's my world. Like, I just am all about employee engagement, love employee engagement. And our own research it was 10 million people in 150 countries showed that, you know, communication was like a top four driver. But tell me, why do you think that, and how can frontline leaders, frontline managers sort of activate engagement through communication?
Yeah, communication is key. We've all seen the studies that lay out the number one reason people give for leaving a job is not the pay, it's not the workload, it's not the benefits, it's poor relationship with the boss. Mm-hmm. I can't deal with that manager. And just recently, I've seen studies, 71% of people surveyed feel their managers don't communicate effectively to them. 65% want more feedback. They're dying for feedback that they're not getting. So I think for employee engagement, communication is key. And a lot of managers take it for granted that they're communicating just fine or doing what they need to do. I think four things I'd recommend. You got to solicit feedback from your people to keep them engaged. How's it going? What do you need? What can I do for you? You got to give feedback in a timely manner, right? So that they can take it in, they can process it, and they can improve. Don't give them feedback after it's too late. I think the third thing is, I'd say show appreciation, which means giving them some attention. If they need to be rewarded for something great, praise them if they've done something that deserves praise, give them credit. And then I think the fourth thing is people like to be empowered. So give them wings, explore things, and be creative. People like to work with you. They don't like to work for you if they have the option.
Yeah, if give them that option. That would be a key. I love right. that. So, Gary, before we wrap up, I always like to challenge our listeners to get like 1% better every single day, just a little bit better. So challenge us, you know, give us something that we can do today to improve our communication skills.
Here's one thing, very simple. This is the 3-step process called the Pinnacle Method that, you know, we've won awards for, that is the foundation of our book. 3 quick steps that every single one of your listeners can use in their conference calls, in their meetings, in their presentations, in their performance reviews. Here they are really quickly. Number one, analyze your audience. Who are they? What benefit can you provide to them? What questions might they ask? How do they feel about you? What do they know? What do they not know? You have to start by analyzing your audience. Second thing, understand how you want them to feel and what you want them to do as a result of hearing your message. So you've got to understand that, because that gives you an objective. And then the third thing is modify your delivery. And that's your intention. That means you're going to change your word choices, your vocal dynamics, your gestures, your movement, your facial expressions, depending on how you want them to feel and what you want them to do, so that your communication is aligned, so that the arrow is hitting the bullseye and you're going to get what you want at the end.
Fantastic. And I love how specific. I mean, this is, you know, step by step what we can do today. Gary, I want to thank you for coming on to the LeadX show. And will you tell our listeners how they can find out more about you and your work?
Absolutely. You can go to www.pinper.com. That is the Pinnacle Performance Company website.
Fantastic. Friends, you've just been mentored by communication guru G. Riley Mills. Don't forget, you can get the links and notes from this interview over at leadx.org. And you can get Gary's book from amazon.com or your favorite bookstore. And while that's it for today's episode of the LeadX Show, don't forget to download our free ebook, Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership, at leadx.org/Branson. Until next time, remember, leadership is not a choice, because leadership is about influence, not authority. It's not about power. And we are all influencing those around us with our words or our silence, our actions, or if we choose to be a bystander. You are always influencing those around you. We are all leaders. Today, please lead with intent.